morning. It is good to see you this morning. It's a beautiful day, amen? It's a beautiful day, amen? All right. Yeah, we have a lot of things going on this morning, a lot of announcements. We want to make an announcement that the UMW starts again on the 7th at 7 on Wednesday. We will be meeting for our prayer meeting at 6:30 on that particular Wednesday. But as choir begins, it was brought to my attention that choir practices at 6:30. So we'll meet for prayer on Wednesdays at 6, between 6 and 6:30, so that we're ready for choir at 6:30. This is Fair Week, so we have lots of things going on this week, and we're praying for safety and for a good experience for our kids. We are also going to, next Sunday, we look forward to a hymn sing. So we will be doing a lot of our favorite hymns next week. we're still collecting plastic, and so that's out there in the narthex area for you. And to make sure that you get with, is it Shelley for the college kids? For addresses of college kids. I know we have other announcements from the floor, so Jeannie, where are you at?
Good morning. I was chosen or drafted, however you want to look at it. We had the admin board meeting last Thursday, and we were talking about Sunday school. And it was decided that we are going to try to do Sunday school more formal again with the kids. And also, Pastor Melissa has agreed to, or volunteered to, teach post-secondary through the 30s Sunday school class. We're going to try to get one started. I believe there was one here when Greg, before the 11:11 service started. So we were talking, Jackie McIntosh is also at that meeting. She's at the Contemporary Service, and she has said that the Contemporary Service, they are very flexible with us and don't care timing-wise when they start. So we weren't sure how everybody in this service would want to handle it. There's a couple of different options that we've kind of talked about. And the first one would be to actually change our starting time for church to 9 o'clock, which... there's pluses and minuses. You get out earlier, but, you know, you also have to be here earlier. And some of us live farther away. So, you know, we weren't sure about that. So if we did that, we would have church from 9 to 10, Sunday school from 10:15 to 11, and then the contemporary service would start at 11:30. Or option number two would be to leave things where they are with our church service. It started at 9:30 as normal to 10:30, and then Sunday school 10:45 to 11:30, kind of like what we do now. And then the contemporary service would start later, like 11:45-ish to noon. And so we didn't want to really make that. That's kind of a huge decision to make, and we were really on the fence about it ourselves. So we kind of decided we would present it to everyone here. And we're going to give it 2 or 3 weeks, I think, to get discussions. You can talk to me about it. You can talk to Vicki Saylor, Tana, Pastor Melissa. The admin board is kind of flexible, so I didn't want to really, or, you know, I know Dick and Margaret were there the other night. I put my phone number out in the bulletin board area, my cell phone, so you guys can call me, you can catch me anytime. Just let me know what you think. We're hoping to get this started by October 1st, whatever we decide. So, like I said, I think we've kind of decided Sunday school is important, and we've kind of, I wouldn't say slacked off in the last couple of years, but we just haven't quite been decided what to do with it. So we've made this decision. I think it's a good one. I think Sunday school is very, very good for you. At least I enjoy it. And we are then going to have the elementary Sunday school as normal. We're just kind of working that out. And so if anybody has any interest in teaching that, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm here on behalf of the Pregnancy Life Center, and our walk is coming up September 11th. It's called Love Out Loud, and it is the biggest fundraiser that the Pregnancy Life Center has because they operate only on donations. They don't take any federal grant money or state grant money because they can say you can do this and can't do this, and we don't want that. We want to be able to share the gospel with whoever would come through the center, whether it be a mother or a father. So this is our biggest fundraiser. It's September 11th at Fountain Park. It starts at 2 o'clock. It's a two-mile walk. The forms, if you would like to get sponsors, are out in the vestibule out here. If you don't want to walk, or if you can't walk that day, you can still get sponsors, and you can walk anytime on your own time. And if you don't want or can't or won't, don't want to, I'll have this sign-up sheet with me. You can sponsor me, and we'll see that you get on the sponsor list. So I just wanted to let you know this is coming up real quick, and so that. The other thing, this is really supposed to be a joy or a praise, but while I'm up here, I'd like to say thanks to Charlie Bear and Roger Miller and Terry Kroll and Jeff Myers and Cody Feasby. Seems that we had a visitor here in the church this week as we were sitting in the ad board meeting. Jean Leary says, that was just a squirrel that ran by the door. And so I believe there was Dick and Jackie and Tana were chasing the squirrel because she didn't want an extra class member in her preschool class on Friday morning. Well, the little rascal got away. So then Friday morning, the gentlemen come together and they chase the squirrel down. Roger, good skills. He held up a fishnet. The squirrel jumped right into it. Yes. I believe he was here on the church banister or the choir banister, and he took a leap and leaped right in the fishnet. So that was a kind of a fun story I wanted to share with you. And just he did pick the right church. He did have a feast. There were several cereal boxes that were attacked. And one of the families that was at the food pantry found one. Tana, I believe, cleaned up one. And he also got into the suckers. He had a sweet tooth, I guess, and he had his way with the suckers. So just thanks, guys, for taking care of that. I guess he did do a little chewing. He wanted to get back to the food pantry after the doors had been shut, and so he was trying to get through the wooden doors. So he did a little chewing on some doors, but it was a fun story. I mean, it could have been worse if we didn't see him. He could have done a lot more damage. So thanks, guys, for all your hard work.
Thank you. Yeah, it was eventful. I tried to help, but usually what I did was stand and screamed every time he moved, which proved not to be very helpful at all. So we decided to let it go until the next day. Vicki, hold up that flyer again. It's the sign up is the flyer. I mean, this is your what you need if you want to walk.
Yeah, you pull this down here and give it to me, or take it to the PLC.
Yes. Yay. We can always use another T-shirt. And just to reiterate about the Sunday school, we have decided that we are passionate about Christian education and that our children deserve the best and our young people deserve the best. And so we are serious about we will do junior church as we've done, but it will be focused on really being a miniature church for the kids. So they will still leave after the children's moments, but we need another time that we can actually set aside so that we can offer them good, fun, quality Christian education. It's something that they need so badly, and it was we've had a long week. We met with the folks at the Wings of Joy. And thought, you know, if this is the only Christian education they get, we're really not doing our jobs. So what we're looking at is two different times, and we have not made that decision. We need your input in that. And so if you would talk to one of the ladies or anybody on admin council on how you feel about whether you want to keep it, go 9:30 to 10:30 for church, 10:30 or 10:45 to 11:30 for Sunday school, and then the second service would be after that, or to move it to 9 a.m. and do 9 to 10, and then 10:15 to 11 for Sunday school, and then keep the 11:30, do 11:30 to 12:30 at the second church. So we are looking for your input. We don't want to force anything on anyone. We just want to make a good corporate decision on that. With that, it also means that we're going to be looking for people to help teach, and so that will be important for the little kids. And what we're looking at doing is having the kids rotate through rooms. So maybe you wouldn't teach the whole time, but you would do the part where you'd have the video or the scripture lesson or the craft area. So those are some of the things we're looking at doing. So if you would like to, just make sure that you talk with us, and we'd be happy for that. Yeah, Jean? So youth fellowship will actually be 6th grade through 12th grade this year. And then if there's times that we need to split the groups, we will. So we're excited about that. Also, Convoy Days is coming up. And in Admin Board, we also talked about being a presence in that, that we would like to be a part of the parade and just to make our presence known. So if you would like to participate in that, call the office or let me know, and we'll work that out. Is there anything else that we've forgotten?
Next weekend being Labor Day weekend, we're going to move the pickle jar second Sunday.
That's right. Pickle jar will be second Sunday because of Labor Day weekend. So that'll be the second Sunday. And bowling is starting up too, correct? Bowling is starting?
Yeah.
It is so good that we are so active that we've got 10 minutes of announcements. It is actually a sign of health and growth, so we're excited about that. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Please stand as you're able. Heavenly and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We are grateful for the sunshine. We are grateful for the rain as you give it. We ask that you be with us. Help us to calm our minds and our hearts, to put away all of our thoughts and all of our worries, to join together with you and the Holy Spirit, to connect with the Spirit within us and amongst us, and to create that energy, gracious God, that you have given to us as the people of God, that called by your name in love and in worship. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you join me in the worship, call to worship? What if the stranger in the pew is really someone test driving our church to see how we are? Telling them that we could be trusted to care, that their crying infant is actually sick unto death, and her young parents are to lose it. What if the teen in the hoodie is here because he or she does not approve of the substances snorted, injected, or consumed by the adult in their lives? Here because he or she is determined to turn away from destruction by turning towards God. Our opening hymn is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. We turn and we greet each other with the peace as we walk just a little closer with Jesus. Would you turn and greet your neighbor? As we begin to find our way back to our seats, we invite the children to come forward. I have a big group today. I'm glad to see you guys all up this morning. And how many of you guys are going to fair this week? Yeah, me too. I think I'm going to be there a lot. So our scripture today says, it's Hebrews 2, verse 3, and it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great of a salvation?" Well, that's a couple of big words. Do you know what neglect means? Do you know what neglect means? Well, I brought something to help us understand what neglect means. Let's see. I had, as one of my favorite gifts, somebody had given me this really cool watch. Now, it was one of my favorite watches, and it was really fancy. And as soon as I got it, I loved it so much because it kind of reminds me of horses and all that kind of stuff. And so I wore it all of the time. I always had it on. But then I kind of began to notice that it started to fade a little bit. Can you see that? It's kind of like turning a little bit gold, and the silver is kind of coming off a little bit. And so I thought, oh, well, I don't want to ruin my really favorite watch of all times. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to save it. I'm going to take it and put it in my drawer, and I'll save it for just those special occasions. So I'm only going to bring it out when I go to someplace fancy or when I go to church. So I went and I put it in my drawer and I brought it out and I'd wear it on Sunday and it's all bling. It's got all that shine on it. And maybe if I went out to a movie or something special like that. But then, you know, as time went on, I kind of forgot to put it on even on Sundays. I mean, I kind of got this one and I wear this because it helps me say how far I walked. And pretty soon I didn't wear it anymore, and so I wanted to go and put it on. I was going to wear it today, but you know what? It doesn't work. I don't know if the battery's dead in it or what, but I neglected it. I didn't take care of it. I just put it in the drawer and forgot all about it, and now it doesn't work. And so neglect means when we forget about something, we don't take care of it. How many of you guys have pets? What would happen if you didn't take care of your pet and didn't feed it? Get sick, huh? Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us that sometimes when we first get Jesus in our lives, we are so happy and so excited. We are like, oh yeah, I got to tell everybody I know about Jesus, and I take Jesus with me everywhere. I pray all the time. But as time goes on, I think, you know, maybe I'll just bring Jesus out when I go to church on Sunday. Or if I go to a Christian concert or something like that. And so sometimes when life gets really hard, we forget We forget about Jesus because we've neglected Jesus, and we've just kind of brought him out only on Sundays or paid attention to him on Sundays. So the scripture tells us don't neglect your relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is always there. Now, my watch, it may be fixed. It may be fixable. It may not be. But your relationship with Jesus is always there for you, always waiting. If you forget for a while and have put him aside, as soon as you say to Jesus, you know what, I forgot how wonderful and marvelous and fantastic you are, and I want to, you know, get back into you, he's always right there. Jesus never gets broken, never gets lost, never runs out on us. And so we can always count on Jesus. But we have to remember that it's good for us to pay attention to Jesus and keep that relationship in good working order. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you that you know that we are human, and that sometimes, even though we've been so excited when we fall in love with you, that we forget sometimes and we walk away and we don't pay as much attention to our faith as we should. And so we are grateful, oh God, that you just wait for that moment for us to want to remember how precious you are. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Who helped me last week? Do you remember with the microphone who helped me last week? Now, who wants to help me this week? Okay. I thought I might have said last week that you could do it this week. All right. And I'm a little more suspicious of the suckers that come on, that are unwrapped. So make sure you get a wrapped sucker. Got one? Remember? I'm going to start these this way. So. Get your two. One's for you and one is for somebody else. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thank you. And we gather our joys and concerns and our cares for one another as we gather together. So do we have praises or concerns this morning? Way in the back, Miss Cheryl.
Dennis and I were blessed with our 11th grandchild at 3:51 this morning. It's a boy. His name is Alex James. He weighed 7 pounds, 14 ounces, 20 inches long. So, 11th grandchild, 7th grandson.
Miss Joy?
Our joy was Thursday, our little Lily turned 7. And on the bad note, we're still wishing for prayers for Gracie. She's still in the hospital. We had surgery to take her appendix out on Wednesday, and they're not happy yet, so she's still in the hospital. So prayers for our little Gracie would be appreciated.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Derek is not here today, but he turned 30 on Thursday as well. I mean, his birthday was Thursday.
Oh, great. Congratulations. We wonder how that's possible, right, Shelley?
We have a niece that had a baby yesterday. They live in Hawaii. And it was born early. It weighs less than 2 pounds, so they need some prayers. And then also, we'd have been asking for prayer for Stan Mueller and continue that because he's really not doing well at all.
What is your niece's name? Carrie? Miss Linda up here has one, too.
Don Johnson in the Villages in Florida needs our prayers. He was walking, jogging, whatever, fell, broke his nose, broke another bone in his face, and lost several teeth. So he needs our prayers.
Any others? Let's go to Lord in prayer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Heavenly gracious God, I first give you thanks and praise that the young people are so willing, Lord, to help out and to carry the microphone for us, that we might share our joys and concerns, Lord, and that we might all hear that at the same time. We are so grateful for this day. We're grateful for birthdays, Lord, and especially new births for Alexis, Lord, that you would continue to bless Melissa and her husband and the family, Lord, as they welcome this new little boy into the world, and that you would that you have been with him since he was knit together, but that you would continue now, gracious God, to bless this family and for the extended family, gracious God, that they would just be overjoyed, as I know they are. We pray and give you thanks for other birthdays today also, Lord, for Derek and for all those that have birthdays, and we're grateful for that. We pray, oh gracious God, for those places of brokenness for Lily, Lord. We have pray for places of brokenness where we need healing. Lord, we pray for Gracie. We've had our hand on her, oh gracious God, in our hearts, especially as she's gone through this appendix thing. We would ask that you would continue to be with the doctors and to monitor her situation, that she would be healed perfectly, Lord, that you are the God that can heal under extraordinary circumstances. And we give you thanks for the medical staff, Lord, that you have empowered and taught and educated and bring along and called to that kind of service to each other, and we just give you thanks. We'd ask you to also be with Stan and with Carrie and her little baby, Lord. You know the plans. You know your plans for us is to prosper us and for this child. That you would just, we know that we have miracles, Lord, miracle babies that survive amazing things. And so we pray for health and for life for this child and for Carrie, and that you would just bless her, oh gracious God, and walk alongside her and to strengthen her in this time that seems so scary and so uncertain. And we pray, Lord, for our brother in Christ, for Don, as he has struggled to with this latest fall. Oh, gracious God, we know how hard it is to recover, Lord, from some of these falls and accidents and injuries, but we know that you are the great healer, and that you are with him, and that our hearts and our prayers go out to him, oh gracious God, your faithful, good and faithful servant. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just be with him and as he heals. Heavenly Father, we have been praying for this church and this congregation. We know that there's a lot of things on the horizon. We feel like there's busyness and activity, but it also translates into life and excitement and joy in Jesus, and we're happy about that. We would ask that you would hear our prayers, Lord, our unspoken prayer requests that are on our hearts, that you might search our hearts and know where our deepest needs are. These are deep places of joy and pain, O gracious God. We pray that you would speak to us and assure us. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with the catastrophes around the world, the natural disasters, the floods, the fires, the earthquakes, O gracious God, that just seem to be every single week. Every single week we come in, and we hear about something new and something different and something terrible. So we pray, oh gracious God, for those who need us the most and who need our prayers the most and who need you the most, that you would hear, especially as we join with those around the world, that as we come together this morning to pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes to us from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 and 16. Keep being concerned about each other in love as the Lord's followers should. Be sure to welcome strangers into your home. By doing this, some people have welcomed angels as guests without even knowing it. Remember that the Lord's people who are in jail and be concerned for them. And don't forget those who are suffering, but imagine that you are there with them. Have respect for marriage. Always be faithful to your partner, because God will punish anyone who is immoral or unfaithful in marriage. Don't fall in love with money. Be satisfied with what you have. The Lord has promised that he will not leave us or desert us. That should make you feel like saying, Lord, help me. Why should I be afraid of what people can do to me? Don't forget about your leaders who taught you God's message. Remember what kind of lives they lived and try to have a faith like theirs. Jesus never ever changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be fooled by money of any kind or strange teachings. Our sacrifice is to keep offering praise to God in the name of Jesus. But don't forget to help others and to share your possessions with them. This, too, is like an offering sacrifice that pleases God. This is the word of God for the people of God. God has blessed us with all great gifts, and we are invited to participate in the spiritual act of worship. May I have the ushers come forward for a gathering of our offering. I invite you to stand as you're able. God, here we are offering to you what we have, standing in faith that it matters for your kingdom. Here we are remembering the pennies and nickels, dimes, grandmothers and widows that provided a model for our own food pantry so that none may go hungry. Most holy God, we ask that you use these gifts to grow your kingdom and to increase our faith in your work. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. And it is the chapter 14, verse 1 and 7 through 14. And I'm reading actually from it's called the Learning Bible. It's a contemporary English version. One Sabbath, Jesus was having dinner with the home of an important Pharisee, and everyone was carefully watching Jesus. Jesus saw how the guests had tried to take the best seats, and so he told them, "When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the best place. Someone more important than you may have been invited. Then, when the one invited, you will come and say, give your place to this other guest. And you will be embarrassed, and you'll have to sit in the worst place. When you're invited to be a guest, go and sit instead in the worst place. Then the one who invited you may come and say, 'My friend, take the better seat.' And you will then be honored in front of all the other guests. If you put yourselves above others, then you will be put down. But if you humble yourself, you will be honored." Then Jesus said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends and family and relatives and rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and you will be paid back. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, invite the crippled and the lame, and invite the blind. They cannot pay you back, but God will bless you and reward you when his people rise from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. Warren, I'm going to put you on the spot, Warren, and ask if you'd pray over our sermon this morning. Could you do that for me? Thank you.
Father God, we pray a blessing upon Pastor Melissa as she brings a good word to us this morning. Bless her with an anointing. Bless us with ears to hear. Not only to hear, but to understand. Not only to see, but to perceive. And it's our Lord and Savior's name we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When love wins. When love wins. What are we going to say about that? I thought a lot about it. I wrote a lot of fancy words, and I started thinking about it. And I started thinking about how even in our best laid plans, we can fall short. And I thought about all of the places, you know, we like to think that there are two kinds of love. There is, you know, I'm part of the peace, love, and right on generation, you know, and so we have lots of things. We say we are probably the most casual of any culture of any generation with the word love that has ever been. We love our families. I love my husband and my grandchildren and my children. We love our church. I love ice cream, chocolate cake, warm sunny days. We love all kinds of things. And the writer to the book, in the book of Hebrews, is writing, and he opens up this part. He's been preaching, he's been teaching on the three themes of Paul, which is faith, hope, and love. And in this section, he gets to the section of love. And he says, "Let mutual love continue." See, he knows it seems like a simple task. We say, well, yeah, we love. We love all kinds of things. We love. But do we really understand? Do we really understand what sacrificial love is? I don't know about you, but I feel very unsafe in this culture, in this community, in this day and age. How many of you guys would be willing to stand up and say where you stand politically today? In front of, I think, you know, it's never been more dangerous to make a statement, a political statement, because even though we profess that we love everybody and we love everything so much, we really are divided and double-minded. While we say that we should be loving and we should accept and we should honor all people, in reality, we really turn around and punish people who don't think like us. And so we get stuck in this culture. And we, you know, when my kids were little, one of the things that I decided I needed to do for my household was to make my, I totally envisioned that my house should be an oasis. That no matter what happened at school, no matter what happened in the world, no matter whether they got in fights with other kids, no matter what happened at work, no matter what kind of a bad day Rob had, that they could come home and be in this place, this oasis of peace, that it was different from the world, different from what they expected, a place where they knew they felt loved. And this writer to the book, to the Hebrews, is saying that the church needs to be the same thing. And one of the things that I wanted to do is to talk about, you know, how in order for us to really love, we have to learn to love sacrificially. And I'm not always sure that we know what it means to love sacrificially. And I had a skit for us today, but time's not going to let us go. But it talks about how we, in order for us to really love each other and to love sacrificially, we really need to know each other. And sometimes it's called you in the pew. You in the pew next to me. What do I know about you? Are you the kind of person that I just say hello to and ask how the weather is? Do I know about your family? Do I know if you're sitting there, if you're broken, if you're hurting? What do I really know about you? And so it says to us that sacrificial love works when we know each other. And I mean really, really know and invest in each other. And so it means that we have to get our hands dirty. It means that we have to rub elbows with each other. I thought when we started meeting for admin council last week, and I started talking about the Sunday school, I began to approach it apologetically. Like, okay, guys, you know, we really got to do this. Can we get wrangle some people into teaching Sunday school, because we really have to do this? And I thought, no, you know, we love our kids. We want our kids to know, and so that requires us to love them so much that we sacrifice. You know, I know that we're folks. I also know your hearts. You know, when I thought about this sermon, I thought, I am preaching to the choir. I have been here for a year. I know your hearts. I know that you guys are missional and that you're sacrificial and that you love. But we all can use a refining on it. We all need a refresher on this and what it means to love completely. There's no really easy way about it. So I know where your hearts are, and I know that we want to love one another, but we have some places to grow. I served a church. I was going to tell the story about serving this church. I served this church one time that saw themselves as loving and open, and that they were really welcoming. And so they decided that they were, to show how welcoming they were going to have this food pantry. So they opened this really huge food pantry, and the process was the people would come in and they would line up in a hallway. And there were a couple of folding chairs for folks who couldn't stand for very long. And it took, sometimes people stood in the line for hours, sometimes 2 hours or more. And just as they'd get to the front, to where they were going to get able to get the food that they could have, they were greeted by a sign that said, "This ain't Burger King, you can't have it your way." I've often thought about that unloving and undignified sign that greeted people. And I think about how we in the church have found ways that we argue about things and we find ways to not be as loving. And we need to, for us to love one another is going to be critical in who we are as effective witnesses in the church. How many of you guys have heard somebody say, "Oh, I'm not going to church. You know, I know too many Christians, and you know what they're like inside and out of church. No, thank you. I'm not signing up for that." You know, because we tend to love, but we love on Sunday, or we love conditionally. Paul writes in his Corinthians text, love holds no grudges. It remembers nothing. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't boast. And those are the things, the signs of sacrificial love. Now, I know you guys are all thinking, yeah, okay, we get that. But I wonder, you know, we think of Mother Teresa. What a great vision of sacrificial love. But how are every one of us called to love one another? How do we love each other in and out of the church? I think one of my favorite, I talk about this movie that I had, and I love this movie. It's called The Heart of Texas. And it's about this guy who decides, makes friends with this family, this poor Baptist family in Texas. It's a true story. And they become great friends. And at one point, his little daughter, who's 4 years old, one night in a terrible accident, is hit and killed. And it was a hit and run. They can't figure out who did it. They don't know what happened. Well, they find out later that it was this guy's best friend, the guy that he'd befriended. He didn't realize it. He thought it was an armadillo. He never knew. And so the father, when he finds out who it is, he calls him up. And he gets him on the phone, and he says, Ulysses, you must be brokenhearted. You must be beside yourself. Can we come down and pray with you? And the family goes to this other family, and they pray with them. And not only do they pray with them, but they invite them to the funeral, and they sit in the place of honor. They bring them up to the front of the church, and they buy clothes for them so that they can come and not feel ashamed because they're poor. And they give them a place of honor. And one of the guys in the church makes this comment. He says, that was the day that an invisible God was made visible for all of us to see. And that, folks, that for me is the point of sacrificial love. We can talk about God, we can talk about our love for Jesus. But our actions and the way we really love each other and love out loud, it will make all of the difference in the world when we're telling people about Jesus and they decide whether or not they want to believe in it. And he goes on and he says, the reason why we love each other is because we're a witness to all of the world, and you may be entertaining angels unaware. We've talked about that. We've talked about what it's like when we entertain angels. So when love wins, the invisible God is made visible. When love wins, the church makes an impact in the community. When love wins, people are restored to right relationships. When love wins, people encompass Christ. Do you know that there is a part, it's so important that there's a part in our service, in our liturgical service, to make sure that we are reconciled to one another? It's called the passing of the peace. You know, a lot of people don't know why we do that. We think we just say, okay, this is the time we pass our peace, and otherwise maybe this is the time we greet our neighbors, say howdy to our friends, maybe exchange a recipe, maybe talk about a piece of gossip. But the reality is that liturgy is started so that when you, in the middle of the service, it is an opportunity for you to find somebody that you have a disagreement with, that you can go to, offer the peace of Christ, and be reconciled. That's what that's for. That's why we do that. And we do it for reconciliation because we love, and we love sacrificially. So we have this amazing connection, this chance to love one another, to go beyond the simple, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? Great weather we have today. To really embody it so that folks can share and know and see the love of Christ, and that we can reconcile to each other. We don't always have to agree, but this is our safe place. This is our oasis. Folks, my hope and prayer is that Sunday morning comes around and we say, I want to go to church because I know I'm safe there. I know that no matter what I think, no matter what's going on in my life, these folks love me. They love me and they will accept me no matter what, and it's an oasis. The rest of the world, I don't know where we're going. I look at the newspapers, I listen to the news. I don't know where there is any other hope for a safe place for us but the church. So we need to be a safe place. We need to be an oasis that welcomes people that are sick and tired of being hurt and beat down and betrayed and worried and fettered and frustrated by a world that will do all of that. And I am honored to be part of that as we learn to love and love sacrificially when love wins. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a love that calls us beyond what's easy, beyond that where our hey, I love you, man, means no more than I love ice cream or I love things that make me feel good. And that you call us into those places of love where it hurts. And when it hurts and when it costs us something, we know that love wins. Help us to be humbled, to take the place of the deepest humility so that in the next life we are lifted and elevated and honored in God's kingdom. We pray it in your name. Amen. Our closing hymn, I invite you to stand, and I've lost my bulletin. Hymn 117, please stand.
Thank you.
You are the image of sacrificial love for a hurt and broken world. Go into the world and let the light of Christ shine before all men so that you may give glory to God in the heavens. Go in peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.